on the trading floor, too, and he's going to give him some advice. This is going to be a doubleheader. So now we've got the big deal worth 10,000 plus behind door number one or door number two or door number three. And well, what door do you want?
Take door number three. Door number three, that's where the car is.
What are you talking about? Door number two is the winner. Door number three is a zonk. Take two. Take two. Two.
See? She picked number two.
Yeah. Now watch what she gets. See there? She ended up with a car with a straw hat on.
I can't figure it out.
It's too late.
I can figure it out, Herman. $1,000. Lady's just stupid.
Wait a minute, Fred. Why do you say that?
Well, how many smart people do you know be dressed like a pizza? And another thing that makes her stupid is she listens to you.
You're not so smart either. What about yesterday on Jeopardy when you told that woman that Sherlock Holmes is a famous housing development?
Well, that was just an honest mistake. But it wasn't no excuse for you picking the wrong door. And besides, if you're so smart, how come you're just a junk man like me?
If God wanted me to be a junk man, I am smart enough not to ask why. You know the trouble with you, Sadfoot? You have a narrow mind.
And you know the trouble with you, Goldstein? You got a big mouth.
I don't have to stand here and listen to those insults. If I want to be insulted, I'll call my mother-in-law.
Where's the rest of the
car? I'm going.
Who needs you?
Who needs you? Zebrecha fish, meshugan.
Oh, gay and thread and buck bagel. And this is off limits to you, and don't never come back here no more.
Knock him out. What are you doing out here? The whole neighborhood's gonna hear you.
I don't care who hears
you. What you get in the house?
I get mad. I let everybody know it. I knock him cold.
What's wrong anyway? I thought you and Goldstein were friends.
I don't want to talk about it. Besides, what are you doing here so early?
I couldn't wait to get home to show you this, Pop. You know what this is?
Let me see that. Yeah. It's an old rusty gun.
That's an original Revolutionary War rifle. I picked it up in an auction for 50 bucks.
You paid 50 bucks for this?
Pop, this is an original Revolutionary War rifle. It's called a Brown Bess.
And they sold it to a brown dummy.
I thought you'd say something like that. Look, Pop. See, when I left the auction, I went to two or three gun shops, and each one of the guys there told me that if I was to clean it up and polish it real good, I could get as much as $800 for it. It's an antique. You see how rusty it is? Look at it.
Listen, that don't mean nothing. Know how they make these things look old? See, they take them and beat them with a chain. And then they bury them in the ground so that the worms can gnaw at them. And then they dig them up and leave them in the rain for 3 or 4 days. Then they take it down to auction, and the man says, sold to the dummy with the black mustache.
You don't believe me? All right, hold this. Just hold that. Now, you see these three business cards? They're all from gun stores. Each one of these guys told me that I could get as much as $750 for that rifle.
Let me get a good look at this rifle.
Oh, why don't you quit pretending? You don't know nothing about antiques, and you know even less about guns.
Who don't know about guns?
You don't.
Are you kidding? World War I, Fred B. Sanford.
B. Sanford? What's the B for?
Bullseye. Machine gunner, World War I. Rifleman, pistol expert. How about that?
Yeah, well, that's not the way I heard it. It was World War II, and it was Fred B. Sanford, all right, and the B wasn't for bullseye. It was Fort Dix, New Jersey. Potato peeler, latrine orderly, and KP. How about that?
How about one cross your lips?
Come on, Pop. Even if you do know about modern guns, you know nothing about a gun that's 200 years old.
Who don't?
You don't. I guess next you'll be telling me you was in the Revolutionary War.
Well, I wasn't. One of my ancestors was. Buford Sanford.
Buford?
That's right. Buford Sanford. He was a slave. And when the Revolutionary War started, see, they let him off so that he could go ahead and fight. And he was so good, and when the war was over, they was nice enough to let him go back to being a slave again.
Well, then how come I never heard about him?
I was saving it for the right moment. And some other stories they tell about Buford.
Like what?
Well, see, you remember that picture where it's three guys marching, and one of them is blowing a flute, and the other one is carrying the flag.
You mean the spirit of 76?
That's it. Guess who was playing the drums?
Buford?
Buford.
Pop, I've seen that picture 1,000 times, and all three of them dudes is white.
So what? How many times you see pictures of Jesus and he's white?
Well, what about it?
That's wrong, too. Because you can't hang around Jerusalem no 30-some years and don't wear no hat and stay white.
Pop, nobody in our family had anything to do with the Revolutionary War, and you know it.
Are you kidding? My grandfather used to tell me stories about the Revolutionary War. You know, how the soldiers fought then. Give me that rifle. Let me show you. See, Buford was one of the best shots in all the whole service. See, the British fought like this. See, they lined up in a long line, all side by side, and it was march, march, and they'd fall down to one knee and fire. Gloom! Like that. Step, step, fire.
Terrific.
And you know, and Buford was the best shot in his outfit. See, and you know that command they used to give, don't fire till you see the whites.
It was... It was don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes.
Oh, Buford never waited that long. See, he'd be hiding in the bushes, and as soon as they got nice and close, he would just pick them off. Pow! He'd further over in the bushes, and he'd see some more of them coming, and they'd get nice close, and pow! Just like that. And he'd ease on back and wait for some more of them to come. Didn't make him no difference. And he'd see them coming, and
are you all right?
Why you tell me that damn gun was loaded? I think I broke my shoulder or something.
The only thing you broke was that window over there.
Oh, you replaced a broken window pane, but you can't replace his broken shoulder.
I wonder where that bullet went.
Don't worry about that old bullet. As soon as they hit something, they fall all apart.
Yeah, well, it had to land someplace, Pop. I'll just take a look at these binoculars. Wait a minute. Where'd these binoculars come from?
Those binoculars? I use those for business purposes.
What do you mean, business purposes?
Well, you know, James Sherman, the junk dealer across the way.
Yeah?
Well, see, I use those binoculars to check out his inventory, see what the competition is doing.
No, you don't. You've been using these binoculars to look at his wife. Now, you train these binoculars on their bedroom, and you check out his wife.
I swear, honest, Lamont, honest, I haven't looked at his wife not once since she's been putting on weight.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
There's a broken window across the street there. That's Goldstein's window.
Let me see that.
You see that broken glass?
Wow, is she fat?
Would you look at Goldstein's window?
Uh-oh,
it's right. The bullet from that rifle went right through Goldstein's window.
Some kid could have threw a brick through that window. Or maybe it was a meteor. That's what it was. A meteor came down from Venus or someplace and crashed through Goldstein's window and landed in his kitchen.
No, Pop, I think you shot a hole through Goldstein's window. Hey, wait a minute. What if Goldstein was in there and you...
Don't say that. Don't even think it. In the first place, if the bullet did go through his window, it didn't have enough power in it to kill a man. And in the second place, we don't even know if Goldstein was in the room. And in the third place, I think it's about time for both of us to get the hell out of town.
So wait a minute, Pop. Now, I'm worried. Goldstein never leaves that house. The only time he ever leaves that room is to come over here and look at TV.
Well, maybe the bullet didn't hit him.
If that bullet didn't hit him, he'd be out in the street right now screaming bloody murder.
Murder, don't say that.
And you had to have an argument with him. What'd you have an argument with him for? The neighbors probably heard you, Pop. They'll say that you gunned him down.
Stop it. If he did get shot, you know it was accident. You believe that?
Yeah, I believe it and you believe it, but will a jury believe it?
A jury? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a shooting, Pop, and you did it. Pop, you shot a man.
Oh. Oh, this is a big one. Is that Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey. Guilty. Guilty. What am I gonna do? I won't spend the rest of my life in jail. All my years of hard work, they'll take me away. They'll take me away, and I'll lose all this.
Hey, don't worry, Pop. If anything happens to you, you know I'll take care of this place.
How you gonna take care of the place from a jail cell?
Jail cell? What are you talking about? I didn't shoot that rifle, you did.
Well, I didn't buy that rifle, you did.
Well, I didn't pull the trigger.
Well, I didn't load it.
Neither did I.
Well, all three of us in this together. Me and you and the soldier who loaded that rifle 200 years ago.
Now, wait a minute, Pop. Now, we're not absolutely positive that Goldstein is dead.
Well, how are we gonna find out? Keep watching the sky till we see buzzards circling?
No. All we gotta do is just sit over here and keep watching Goldstein's light.
Well, now, what good is us going to do to sit over here and watch Goldstein's light?
Well, if his light goes off at 8:30 like it always does, that means he turned it off and he's alive.
And if it don't go off, that means that he's dead. And if he's dead, you know what that means.
Yeah.
We're dead.
Hey, Pop.
Huh?
Wake up. Goldstein's light, it's still on. I just looked through the binoculars and it's still on. You know what that means?
That means he didn't turn it off.
He didn't turn it off because he couldn't turn it off. I hate to say it, Pop, but Goldstein is dead. What else could it be?
Well, if Goldstein is dead, then I'll soon be dead too. And the sad part, no one will ever know the truth, that the murder was your fault.
My fault? How do you figure it was my fault?
Well, until you brought that rifle here, the most dangerous thing I had was a baseball bat. Do you ever hear me anybody getting shot with a baseball bat?
Hey, Pop, are you gonna start that again? Now, who told you to shoot the gun in the first place?
Well, I ain't gonna take no murder rap by myself.
Well, it's not really murder, Pop. You didn't know what you were doing. Hey, that's it. If worse comes to worse, you can always plead temporary insanity.
How about if I plead I got a son with permanent insanity?
Well, we're not absolutely positive that Goldstein is dead, Pop. Maybe you're lucky. Maybe he was just very seriously wounded.
Yeah, a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Like in one of them cowboy movies.
Yeah.
Because they never get more than a flesh
wound.
Yeah.
How are we going to find out?
Well, you could call him, and if he just got a flesh wound, he'll stagger to the phone and answer it.
That's a good idea, Pop. Why didn't I think of that from the start?
Well, you ain't got what I got up here.
You just call him up.
What you going to say when he answers?
Just one word. Mazel tov.
Just call. How many rings?
It just started.
Nah, how many?
That's two.
How many?
Shh.
Well, the telephone company said always let the phone ring at least 10 times.
I know.
Because sometimes people would be sleeping, and sometimes they'd be in the shower, and sometimes they'd be dead.
He didn't answer, Pop. He's dead.
Oh, here's part two of the big one. Goldstein and I, we go into that old junkyard in the sky. Me to St. Peter and him to wherever he goes.
See, wait a minute, Pop. There's one other possibility. Now, Goldstein could be alive but unconscious. See, that would explain why he didn't answer the phone, because he was unconscious. But there's only one way to find out. One of us has got to go over there and see.
Well, why don't you do that?
Me? Why don't you go?
I ain't going over there.
Well, you're the one that shot him.
Well, if I go over there and find him dead, the shock will kill me. And if I find out he's alive, I'll be so happy I'll be jumping up and down. And I'll have a heart attack, and that'll kill me. So either way, if I go, I go.
Okay, I'll go. I'm gonna go out the back way, Pop, so nobody will see me. Now listen, while I'm gone, I don't want you to open that door for nobody. See, sometimes the cops try to disguise themselves as normal people.
Yeah. Oh. I spot a cop a mile away. See, he got them crew cuts and had them big sideburns and had wear an arrow shirt with a little thin necktie.
Yeah, and they wear them brown wingtip shoes with the design on the toe.
And chew gum real fast.
That's right. So watch yourself, Pop.
Why did this happen to me? Why am I being punished? Maybe I should have went to church more often. It's the cops. It's a cop, I know it. Oh. Got on the arrow shirt and a thin necktie. Oh. What do you want?
I'd like to talk to Lamont Sanford about a firearm he has in his possession.
No, no, he's gone. He went to a UJA meeting. United Junk Men of America.
Well, my name's Ronald Hart of Hart's Gun Shop.
Oh. Yeah. Is that an arrow shirt?
I don't know, but yesterday, Lamont Sanford stopped in my place to get a Revolutionary War rifle appraised, and I just found a buyer for him.
Well, he sold a rifle.
Well, if he ever gets another rifle like that one, I have a standing offer from a client of $1,000 for it.
$1,000? For a rifle that don't shoot? They don't shoot, you know.
Oh, of course they do. They could kill a man today just the way they did 200 years ago. And then, of course, the excuse would be that the idiot didn't know it was loaded.
Well, thanks a lot. Hey, Lamont, the guy was here from the gun shop. I sure wish you'd sold that gun yesterday. We'd be $1,000 richer, and we wouldn't be wondering if we'd killed a man.
Well, you could stop wondering.
What do you mean?
I just knocked on Goldstein's door. There wasn't any answer.
Oh. Oh, no. Another big one. Oh, part three in the end.
Pop, don't panic. Please don't panic. Now, the thing we gotta do is keep calm. Now, don't panic.
Oh, what are you talking about, panicking? I'm not panicking.
Now, the first thing we gotta do is get rid of that rifle.
Yeah, that's what we gotta do. Get rid of the rifle. Yeah, here we go.
What's the blowtorch for?
You can take all the wood off this rifle and then melt the rest of it down.
Good idea.
Come on, let's go in the back. Now, hurry up. Who do you suppose that is?
I don't know.
Well, listen, I'll go ahead and start stalling. You go ahead and start melting that down. Now, hurry. Hurry. Oh.
Hey, Fred. Oh, just got a minute. I hope you got some coffee. Say, I want you to meet my new partner, Officer Hopkins. This is a friend of mine, Fred Sanford.
Mr. Sanford?
What's the matter, brother? Aren't you feeling well?
I don't feel too good, Mr. Smith. I've been having a series of heart attacks.
Yeah, that's been going around now.
What's the matter? You worried about something?
Oh, it's just my heart. It'll stop soon.
Say, what's that smell?
What smell?
I don't know. Say, you cooking something?
No, no, nobody's cooking anything. See, Lamont is he's barbecuing some stuff, and he don't like to watch. You know, nobody watching him while he's cooking. Yeah. Hey, Lamont, Brother Smith's out here with a new partner. They want to know what you're cooking.
What?
They want to know, is it done yet?
Done? No, it's not.
No, it ain't done yet.
What's he cooking?
Soul food.
Hey, say, Fred, I don't know any soul food that smells like that.
Well, see, this soul food comes from a special recipe.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, Lamont. Huh? It's Brother Smitty and his new partner.
How are you?
They came by for some coffee.
Yeah.
And we don't have no coffee, do we?
No, we all out of coffee. Oh. I said to Pop this morning we had to get some coffee.
Sure did.
Yeah, tea too.
Yeah, sorry, man. Yeah. No coffee.
Well,
no coffee.
That's all right. We'll stop by later when you have some coffee. Let's go, Smitty.
Yeah, okay.
Say, Fred, what happened to your window? Kids?
Kids.
Well, yeah. You think if a youngster broke your window, he'd be honest enough to come over and confess he did it.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You know that soul food smells like hammer hocks and black-eyed rice.
That's ham hocks and black-eyed peas.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Look, we'll see you later.
You hear that? Ain't no fool me talking about those hammer hocks and black-eyed rice. They know.
I think so.
See, all that stuff about confessing. See, they know. They just wanted us to know they knew, you know?
I know.
And because they're friends of ours, they won't give me enough chance to go and turn myself in.
I think you're right, Pop.
And that's the only thing left for me to do, ain't it? Is turn myself in.
Yeah, that's the only thing left to do.
Well, I'll go turn myself in. You take care of all this nice stuff here, too.
Don't worry, Pop, I will.
I spent a lot of years fixing this place up. I'll just go turn myself in. I sure will miss the old place and my truck.
Say, wait a minute, Pop. Do you see what I see? It's Goldstein.
Hello, Fred.
Goldstein.
Hello, Lamont.
Hello, Mr. Goldstein.
Goldstein.
Look at this. I didn't think I would live to see the day to get such a welcome.
Yeah, come on in, Goldstein. You hear him, Lamont?
Yeah, I heard him.
He said you never think he'd live to see the day.
I heard him, Pop.
Sit down, Goldstein.
Fred, I came over to apologize for yesterday. I don't know why we had to fight.
And me either. Last night I called you to apologize and I couldn't get an answer.
Yeah, and your light was on all night and we were worried about you.
I was upset, so I went across town to visit with my son. I left the lights on to keep the burglars away. When I came home, you know what happened? My window was broken. Look at my hat that I left hanging in the back of the chair. A bullet hole. You know what I think? I think some crazy guy shot off a gun on the street. If I would have been sitting in that chair, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair. What am I talking about? I wouldn't be sitting at all. I would be laying in Mount Sinai.
That's where they go.
Don't even think about it, Mr. Goldstein.
No, don't think about it.
Who thinks about it? I'm glad to be alive. And I'm happy we are still friends.
Me too, Herman.
I'm going back to have a little lunch now.
Hey, Mr. Goldstein, why don't you stay here and have lunch with us?
What are you having?
Pig's knuckles and red beans.
I'll come back after lunch.
Goldstein lives.
Only one word for it, son.
Mazel tov.
Say, what are you looking at?
Oh, I'm watching Goldstein put his new window in. You want to take a look?
Yeah, let me see that.
I'm going to go in the kitchen and get myself some coffee.
Oh, lady, are you fat?
Is Lamont Sanford home?
Well, who are you?
I'm Mr. Hart from the gun shop. I was here yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on in. I'll call him.
Thank you.
Hey, Lamont.
Yeah, what is it?
The fella you know was here yesterday.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Hart.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you that if you ever get another rifle like that Brown Bess, I can still get $1,000 for it.
Well, listen, what kind of condition does it have to be in?
Well, after all, we're talking about something that's 200 years old. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be in perfect condition.
Well, wait just a minute.
Where are you going, Pop? Pop, what are you doing?
How much can I get for it like this?
Sanford and Son is recorded on tape before a live studio audience.